This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. And this is a sad day because on Tuesday we lost Ernest James Gaines, born January 15th, 1933, and died almost in the same location yesterday, November 5, 2019. His story is, of course, an American story of his time, and today in the pages of the New York Times, his life and times are remembered in his obituary. Ernest J. Gaines, who wrote of the inner struggle for dignity among Southern black people before the Civil Rights era in the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman and other acclaimed novels, died at his home in Oscar, Louisiana. Mr. Gaines, who spent his early years on a Louisiana plantation, captured the lives and strivings of those he had grown up with in a time of limited opportunities and oppressive racism. Many of the adults he knew in childhood had little education, giving him an accidental underpinning for his career. At an early age, I used to write and read letters for them, he told the Boston Herald. In that way, I got to learn their stories. And person with us who has talked on this program a few times about Ernest Gaines, his friend and associate, joining us from the Gaines Center in Lafayette, Marcia Godet. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim.
And it is a sad day for Louisiana.
Yes, it is. A tremendous loss for his family, for Louisiana, and for all of us who have read and admired his work for so long.
Well, in our next segment, the great writer Robert Greene has decided to let us concentrate on Ernest Gaines today, and I appreciate that. We're going to run an encore interview with Ernest Gaines that we conducted, one of many, but this one was on his 75th birthday, and it's part of that interview. And he was always eloquent and a man of immense kindness. He wore his success well, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He would sometimes joke, you know, about his ego, but I think if there was ever an extremely successful person who had such a dignity about his success and such humility too. I mean, he was so open, for example, to talk to students. In fact, a couple of weeks ago at the cemetery day, he met a student, a graduate student here from UL, who was working on a comparison of the French translation of his works. And he was going to meet with that student. So, you know, 15 years after he's retired, he's still so generous, you know, with his time and, you know, with his ability and willingness to help students.
He was born in Louisiana in 1933. This was amid the Great Depression, of course. And then right after World War II, he moved to California because of the lack of opportunities here. And he went to a library, and it changed his life. He served our country with distinction in the armed forces. He was a great athlete. People don't know that part about him, not many anyway. But he was an exceptional track participant, running the 440 and doing it as one of the best in the world in his time. But beyond that, he did his best writing, as he often noted, in San Francisco. He did his best writing about Louisiana when he was in California, and those years in the 60s and 70s were really prime time for Ernest Gaines, weren't they?
Yes, they were. And yes, you're right. He mainly wrote in his flat in San Francisco on Divisadero Street. And in fact, we have here in the Gaines Center the table, the desk that he used to write most of his novels. In fact, I think the only one novel that he didn't write in San Francisco was the last one, The Tragedy of Brady Sims.
Well, he noted that he had a fall at his place in San Francisco, and he didn't know how seriously he was injured, and he had ruptured some discs, and he did not get the attention. He just gutted it out, and ultimately that forced him into a wheelchair late in life. He could walk, but not well. And yes. I know that was a great hardship for him because he was an active man, and I asked him once about 5 years ago if there was anything he would like to do that he couldn't or wouldn't do, and he said, I'd like to walk. And
yes, and that was especially at his time in San Francisco and in Lafayette. He started off his day with a walk. In San Francisco at Golden Gate Park and in Lafayette, around Girard Park. And then he would go back home and then write. And even in Lafayette, he did some writing here, too. So not having that, not being able to take those long walks, I think, was certainly something that he missed. I think he was very adaptable to that too, and seemed to be in good spirits.
Well, it was Freud who said intelligence is the ability to adapt, and I know of no more intelligent person I've met than Ernest James Gaines. And no mention of him is complete without mentioning Diane, his wife.
Yes,
he was 60 years old when he married her. As he said back in the day, and we're talking the 60s and 70s in San Francisco, he quote, and I'm quoting him directly on this show, he said, I got a lot of free loving.
Well, I think one of the things that he said that in an interview that I love is that when he was young, he knew he wanted to be a writer. And he was afraid that if he had a family and a wife, something would be
neglected.
Left out, neglected, and he said he feared that it wouldn't be his writing.
Yeah, he didn't think he would be an all-in family guy because he was devoted to his craft.
Yes,
and thank God he was devoted because he leaves a spectacular body of work, but because of the subject matter, that makes it immense as far as his legacy.
Oh, yes. And I think in just reading all, the outpouring of tributes, the New York Times, the Guardian, I mean, just so many of them. And, I think we see that, throughout that he was, not only was he dedicated to writing, but I think one of his the things that we see, we know that he was a generous man, a kind man, but he was also a very loyal man to his background, to the place that he came from. And as he said many times, he wanted to give a voice to the people who had no voice. And he wanted to tell the story about, what seemed like simple people, and yet he transformed them into these stories that many, many critics observe have this tremendous universal appeal.
It was about this time yesterday, a little past 9 o'clock, that his wife, the lovely Diane, found Ernest, and he had taken his last breath in that beautiful home they have in Oscar, Louisiana.
Yes, and I think though he married late, he was 60 when they married, I think it's a just beautiful love story that he found what I think was the perfect match for him. And certainly Diane is the great love of his life.
No doubt about that.
Yes.
And she extended his life, I'm sure, by many years with her presence.
Oh, yes. Certainly, she did.
In a 1978 interview with the New York Times, this is what Ernest Gaines said about the craft of writing. Content is probably only 40% of it, no more than 50% as far as I'm concerned. If a book doesn't have form, then damn, it ain't no novel. We can go down the block right now and find a guy on the next corner who'll tell the biggest and truest story you've ever heard. Now, putting that story down on paper so that a million people can read and feel and hear it like you on that street corner, that's going to take form. That's writing.
Yeah, and I think he wrote this wonderful essay, Mozart and Lead Belly, and he makes that point that, you know, there are many great stories, and he says, you know, the sort of his stories and his understanding of the people came from listening to Lead Belly and similar, you know, other musicians, but that he had to learn the craft, you know, just as Mozart had to be trained and learn his craft, that both of those were necessary for him to become a writer.
Well, Marcia, for those who are aware of the Gaines Center in Lafayette, it will continue. And I'm sure you welcome visitors.
Oh, yes, we do. And, of course, Shailen Woods is now the director of the Gaines Center, and she is doing a wonderful job. I feel very secure that this center will be an important, this will be sort of the guardian of his legacy. And, certainly we welcome visitors.
I might mention,
Gaines and Diane's tremendous generosity in that they donated all of his papers, all of his awards to the Gaines Center.
He loved that university, and
he
was there. He was a writer in residence for many,
right.
many years.
And the university, and I can say, I think across the university, really loved Ernest Gaines.
Thank you, Marcia Godet. We'll be back and we'll hear from Ernest Gaines 11 years ago after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. And on an ordinary day, we would be talking about President Trump visiting Monroe tonight. We would be talking about LSU, number one, facing number two, Alabama, on Saturday. And then the world changes. We got an opportunity to speak to Bob Edwards, and we'll never pass that up. And then also, we heard yesterday of the passing at about 9 o'clock in Oscar, Louisiana, of Ernest James Gaines. He was 86 years old. He was named a MacArthur Fellow, a recipient of the Genius Grant in 1993. In 2000, received the National Humanities Medal from President Clinton. This from Bill Clinton. His body of work has taught us all that the human spirit cannot be contained within the boundaries of race or class. In 2013, President Obama presented Ernest Gaines with the National Medal of Arts. He's best known for the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman and Gathering of Old Men and A Lesson Before Dying, but he also wrote Bloodline, 1968, In My Father's House, 1978, and recently The Tragedy of Brady Sims in 2017, in a novella about a courtroom shooting. But it was his first published work was in 1964, 55 years ago. He had returned to Louisiana in 63 to put the finishing touches on Catherine Carmier, and he noted on this show that when he met Diane, his wife of the last 26 years, his only wife, she was Catherine Carmier. And this is where we join the conversation we had with Ernest Gaines. It was on his birthday, which also is my birthday. It was his 75th, and it was my 50th. And here's how he sounded on January 15th, 2008. Your first novel, 1964, Catherine Carmier. What inspired that?
Well, I came from a combination Catholic Protestant background. And, of course, I came from a background where you had fair skin, dark skin problems right there in my parish of Pointe Coupee, as we have all over the state of Louisiana, different parts of this the country. And there were problems between those groups. between Catholic, Protestant, light-skinned, dark-skinned, even within the family themselves. And I'm sure I must have been in love with a little old girl like that one time when I was very young, 12 years old, 11 years old. And thought I'd try to write a story about it. I have it in my family, you know, the problem of, you know, who's light skin, who's dark skin, and all that sort of thing. You know, I have it in my family. So I was trying to say something about it.
You left Louisiana in 1948. As we speak, it's 2008, 60 years, yeah. Six decades. Yeah. We've got many miles to travel as far as tolerance and understanding, but have we advanced significantly in those 60 years?
Well, we have done some good things. I hate using that old cliche term. We've accomplished things, but we have so far to go, and that is, but it is true, you know. When I left at 48, I would say that I could not have approached, gone into UL except with a mop bucket and a mop after the white students had left school for that day. When I came back in 81, well, 83, I was made writer in residence there. So something had changed in those years, and I think since then things are constantly changing. Look, in your city here, Baton Rouge, your mayor, Kip Holden, here's Barack Obama, you know, running for president and getting all this votes in there in Iowa and in New Hampshire. So certain things are changing. At the same time, we can see what happened in Jenna, you know, so.
And some things are not changing.
Some things are not changing. Right. The more things change, the more they remain the same, you know, the old French saying.
Well, when you left Louisiana in 1948, Strom Thurmond carried this state in that presidential election. It wasn't Harry Truman. It wasn't Thomas Dewey. It was Strom Thurmond who ran on a segregationist platform. He essentially had one issue. That was it.
Yeah.
That was it. And that was 60 years ago, and I think things have changed, but 40 years ago, George Wallace carried Louisiana, much the same ideas, and we have advanced some. 297-5633 is your number for Ernest Gaines in our remaining time with him on a significant birthday, and born on this date in 1933. That was smack dab in the middle of the Great Depression.
Yeah.
Times must have been tough.
It was tough, but we lived in the country, and at least we had vegetables to eat, and had raised a few chickens, so, and we had Falls River there to fish in, so we, you know, could survive that way. I mean, education was poor, but you had food to eat.
Daryl on I-12. Good morning, Daryl. You're on with Ernest Gaines.
Yes, and I'm happy to be talking with Ernest Gaines. My wife is actually from Pointe-Coupee Parish, and she is a Spooner. And her great-grandfather lived over there in Sherry Court. but the thing I also wanted to mention, you know, as we talk about change, is that recently, not too far away from here in time, David Duke ran for office twice. And in both elections, he got the majority of the white vote, 60% for the Senate and 55% for the governor's race. So, as you said, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
All right. And thank you, Daryl. Of course, that was hard to believe, but it's been 17 years now since Duke ran for governor. Jimmy on Blue Bonnet. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning. Speaking of the quarters, I wonder, I tend to try to recognize some folks in the books, but I was wondering specifically if you could tell us if Reese, Johnny Hall, and Bub are any of the characters in your book, and if so, which books and which characters? And I'll listen. Thank you.
They're all there, and a gathering of old men.
Hugh. Thank you, Jimmy. Hugh on Rodney. Hello, Hugh. You're on WRKF with Ernest Gaines.
Hi, Ernest. Good to hear you. Jim, happy birthday to you as well. Ernest, let me ask you one thing about the black vote between Hillary and Obama. Do you see any discernible category difference between blacks who might be behind Obama and those that might have been or are behind Hillary?
I don't know the difference. I don't know who's going to vote for whom. I've already decided that I'm going to vote for Obama, and what the other people going to vote for, I don't know.
Marcia,
I have no idea.
Marcia Godet has passed me a note. She says Oprah Winfrey referred to Ernest Gaines' autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman in her intro of Barack Obama in both Iowa and in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Of course, Oprah's a big fan of Ernest Gaines. Here's a quote from Ernest. Why is it that as a culture we are more comfortable seeing two men holding guns than holding hands?
I say things like that when I'm half drunk, you know.
It's a good quote. Whatever you're drinking, I want some of it. Here's another one. Words mean nothing. Action is the only thing. Doing, that's
yeah,
the
right,
only
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, right. Well, there was this young kid in this arguing with this minister, a young student arguing with the minister because the minister keeps talking about God and God and God and God. The guy says, you know, doing things is the only thing that is worth talking about.
Well, you've done quite a bit in your life, and there's more to come.
I have done something, Jim. I haven't done nearly as much as I should have, really. I mean, I'm, you know, this without false sincerity. I should have done, could have done more.
Here's another quote from Ernest that we'll leave with. Question everything, every stripe, every star, every word spoken, everything.
Yeah, that's the same student in the nihilist in this dentist's office, and the sky is gray. He's arguing with this minister, and this preacher's talking about God, this God, God, this. And the guy said, I question all of this stuff. I question everything.
Thank you, Ernest. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Jim. It's happy birthday to you, man.
God bless you. Mm-hmm. And this note from John Ed Bradley, a great writer from Louisiana. He says, when I was 22 and struggling to find my way, my uncle arranged for me to meet with Mr. Gaines at USL. Uncle George was an English professor. He and Mr. Gaines knew each other, the writer in residence. I desperately wanted to be a writer. Mr. Gaines agreed to talk with me. We met in his small office. He told me the story of his life and how he became a writer. I sat there and listened for 2 hours. When it was over, he walked me outside. Don't give up. If you can do it, you can do it. That was his message. I was impressed by his elegance and his humility and his willingness to help me. I never saw him again, but his example stayed with me. I've never turned away a dreamer looking for advice. I've never discouraged a young person who wants to write. That from John Ed Bradley. And until tomorrow, for Matt Doyle and Kirby Ferries, I'm Jim Inkster. Thank you for listening. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Stay tuned.